everyone. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. Welcome to the pool car. It is Saturday evening. We are so eager, myself, Michael Bailey and Paddy Davitt, to do this podcast after a result like that, that we are literally doing it before we've even got home. And for you, Pad, that's a lot closer than me. But
Don't worry about that, Mike.
Norwich City have won 2-1 at Old Trafford against Manchester United in the Premier League. It's the first time they've won at Old Trafford in the Premier League, the first time they've won there at all since 1989, which I believe would have been in the top flight back then as well. What a day, Pad, and what a performance. Where does that rank this season?
Oh, it's got to be, certainly result-wise, and I know everything we will say now will be caveated with, well, United are this, they're that, they're not what they used to be. But, yeah, result-wise, it's big, because it's still Manchester United, it's still the Theatre of Dreams, it's still 75,000. And it's still some world-class players, so don't let anybody tell you that wasn't a momentous result for Norwich, particularly in the context of what they're trying to do as well. You know, only a second league win in 12. That's probably really more epic than, as you said, they're rightly putting it in its historical context, but it really is all about the here and now, and they've got to tap into that and feed off that, because that is a big result, that is a catalyst result.
It is a catalyst result, and I hope it has that desired effect. Thing for me is forget Bournemouth, forget the... I know United are in a dodgy run. They had a very strong 11 out today, probably back to their first choice 11. And this is a side that hadn't lost a game and had conceded one goal at home in the league this season. I mean, this isn't when Norwich went to Chelsea and they'd like tripped up three or four times. You know, United were... I know there are the issues, but they were in imperious form to an extent at home. Very difficult to score against, never mind beat them.
Yeah, and I think they were, what were they, at kick-off, 4 points off the top, or 5 points?
Six, yeah, something like that.
So, you know, yes, OK, they are clearly struggling, and we saw evidence of that. And certainly the disconnect between a lot of them supporters and that manager is obvious to see, but... Yeah, no, it was still a very difficult assignment, and that's not the team, as you rightly say, that Bournemouth turned over the previous weekend. I think they had three lads in their back four who were 22 or under, and today I think it was right to left, Ashley Young, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, that's three England internationals, and Daley Blind, who played for Holland in the World Cup, and behind them they had Spain's number one, David De Gea. So, you know, let's get it right. That was an immense result, and fully deserved, I thought, as well.
Yeah, I've got a smile on my face talking about it. So, we're counting down against the battery on my phone, so apologies if we rattle through things quite quickly, but where did that come from? What was the key to Norwich doing that? Because they were up against it early on. They did seem to grow into the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, funny enough, on that point, Alec Neil was asked that in his post-match, and he basically said, well... You know, that's almost how he envisaged it. They had to be a bit conservative and stay in the game. He said, like, he checked it as a 30-minute mark. He said if we were in the game 0-0 at 30 minutes, then it opens up. Then you get a chance to, as it proved. I mean, it was almost crystal ball gazing, really.
He did a lot of that last year.
if that's how he envisaged it Friday night in the hotel, then it just shows what an operator he is, because... Yeah, it was that. And you did fear in that period that, well, this is only going to go one way and it's only a matter of time until they get the breakthrough. But then you take a step back and you think, well, how many saves did Declan Rudd make, A, in that spell, and B, throughout the whole game? And I don't think he made any. It certainly wasn't the Watford-type shift or an Everton-type shift. So that tells you that for all their kind of latent potential, there wasn't like an arsenal of shots raining down on his goal. So I think it was just... Let's just stay in the game here. Let's get the crowd a bit anxious, a bit restless. And then perfect, bang, counter-attack, Cameron Jerome, the enigma. and then they served it up again, Jerome feeding Tete after the break. It was just absolutely textbook away performance, counter-attack, soak up pressure, and then go bang, bang. And then equally as impressive, because we've seen the distress signals from that whoever's been in that back line this season, that when they got the goal back through Martial, there was still, I think, in the region of about 25 minutes or so left, and they were resolute, bar, you know, one or two. Inevitably, you were going to get one or two heart-stopping moments. But Ryan Bennett, again, fair play to him. I thought him and Bassong dealt with everything they had to deal with, you know, and Rudd was pretty well protected.
Oh, so many things I want to talk about. So, yeah, Cameron Jerome scored the first goal. I think it was sort of 38 minutes, wasn't it? He took it really well, didn't he? I mean, the defending wasn't great, admittedly, but he himself took it really well. He rode the challenge from Chris Smalling and finished it really, really neatly. And well done, Nathan Redmond, for teeing it up on the break as well.
Well, that's, as we said on the early part of this journey, that's, to me, what was the most pleasing aspect of it. You know, that they did look dynamic going forward. You know, it's been bit laboured and a bit we'll play it in front of you and we'll incrementally get up the pitch, but there was none of that. It was forceful, it was direct thrust through Redmond, and he did that on three or four occasions in the second half as well, and they just looked like a side who could carry a counter attacking threat, and that's what you're going to need if you're going to go with that game plan. If all you're going to hope and do is hang on and get men behind the ball and shape and make it difficult, then inevitably you go to these sides, and even if they're not in the best of form, they're going to find a way through because they've got so much quality. But yeah, as you say, the initial incision from Redmond, and then he still had a bit to do, let's be honest. Yeah. You know, I mean, he had to hold off Michael Carrick as well, and then De Gea, he just, you know, as I say, widely regarded as, if not the best, certainly one of the best keepers in the Premier League, and he just confidently whipped it past him. So more power to him, because obviously this time last week he was, suffice to say, not the most popular man, I wouldn't have thought, amongst a lot of City fans after that miss against Everton second half. But you know, he's certainly weighed in today, and as I said, he had a key role in the second goal as well.
Absolutely, and to be honest, it does put a very strong line under what happened at Everton. Absolutely. And yeah, Norwich were 2-0 up after half time. As you said, Jerome with a key role, but Alex Tetti breaking and finishing so well. And I know Alex Tetti had maybe a slightly ropey opening to the game. It sort of took him a while to get into it, but he definitely grew into that game, didn't he?
He did, yeah. There was a little bit of the Watford about the first sort of 25 minutes from that man, but, you know, I would say not just him, but the whole team. I mean, it's the obvious. You hear it all the time, don't you? Goals breed confidence, and you could see they looked different players. They were closing down, the energy was there, the intensity was there collectively, and that can only be traced back to goals, you know, and the fact that they had something to hang on to, and not just that, they then went and got a second goal as well, and in the final analysis that really was required, because you knew United were going to come back strong.
Yeah, absolutely, that was a very, very big moment. I think now's a good time to hear from Alec Neil and Russell Martin.
I'm just really pleased, you know, for the players mainly, because they've worked hard, and I think a lot of questions have been posed over myself and them, and the best way to answer that is to go and try and win games, and it's not been easy, and I've not been used to not winning games, so to come here and to get a good victory at a real difficult place, I'm really pleased for everyone involved. Basically, we didn't make any of the mistakes that we'd made in other games, which helped, and then when we did sort of grow into the game, I think when you don't concede that first goal, the longer the game goes, the more opportunity you've got. And we've got quality players going forward, you know, and we can cause problems. We scored quite a few goals this season, and then we scored another two here again today. They'd only conceded one goal at home all season. So, we've not been doing that badly. You know, we had a bad performance against Watford, but other than that, our last three home games, we had a one and two draws against hard opposition, and then we've came here and won that. So, I'm just really pleased the fact that the wee bits that have cost us recent weeks, we've done right today, and when we do them right, we can win games.
That got us to the Premier League. First eight or nine games, it got us a bit of success. Newcastle happened, we kind of went away from that a little bit. The Premier League does that to you. You have to analyse things and try and adapt and stuff, but since then, since last week, the gaffer said, you know, let's get back to what we do. Our identity last year was being aggressive, being high up the pitch, pressing high, and today we've done that, and you can't always do that in the Premier League. Of course, we're learning, your gaffer's learning on the spot, and so are we as a team. And but I think this will be a turning point for us. Last week was first half, and we'll get back to how we play, how we want to play, and we did that today, and we won the game. And there'll be weeks where we get beat, and we have to deal with that. We have to deal with that as a football club and players and as a staff. And but you know, if we carry on playing like that, there'll be more times that we pick up points than not.
When Norwich went 2-0 up, United finally changed it. They brought on Ander Herrera. They seemed to me, it looked like they almost, I know they went two up top, but they, most of the time it was four. It was like a 4-2-4 with it. They were properly sort of overloading the top end of the pitch. So Norwich, Alec Neil obviously wanted to make a change. He made his change. He switched
Housen
in for Wes. Brady was on the right. It was sort of a back five again, a bit like what they'd done at Man City. And it was in that those sort of moments afterwards that United got their goal. Martial took it very well, I thought. But I don't know, maybe that came from a little bit of Norwich not quite being organised quickly enough after the changes, possibly.
Yeah, maybe. But I think the reality was the situation they were in then, it was almost they had to go for broke. So, you know, they were going to cut through, and there was one or two, as I said earlier, heart-stopping moments. But I think if you look back at that goal, really it was the cross shouldn't have been allowed to come in. And I know it was in the Norwich left back area, but I'd have to see it again on the TV. But you'd have to think, well, it was Olsen. He didn't, by not cutting out the cross, that caused an issue. And well, it was nicely finished, yeah, because the ball sort of reared up and he killed it and then swerved round. I think Brady was on the ground and Ryan Bennett as well. And composed finish, you know, and that funnily enough, that was his first league goal, I think, since the first three or four games when he arrived in September. Yeah. So there's a man who's in desperate need of a goal, but, you know, luckily it was little more than a footnote in the final analysis.
Absolutely, which is, and to be honest, even though United then huffed and puffed a bit, Norwich certainly had their chances. Malumbu had a shot saved, yep. Johnny Houston had his foot kicked as he pulled the trigger. So, yeah, what a trip for all those Norwich fans. You mean, think about all the away trips, and the, you know, Norwich have been in a difficult run recently of fixtures, haven't they? They've played Arsenal, Everton, I suppose Chelsea wasn't that long ago, was it? And, you know, that's the catalyst, hopefully, for what happens now. And with the result, obviously we don't know what Sunday's results are, but a couple of other results kind of went Norwich's way. After a difficult couple of weekends, it's nice to be in a slightly more rosy position.
Yeah, definitely. And let's be honest, yes, and I think he's used himself the phrase "masters their own downfall" in recent times, and there has been an element of that. But they've also been a bit unfortunate, you know, not to have more points. Let's be brutally honest about it. They have put in a lot of decent performances, and maybe it's a little bit of naivety tinged with the basic errors. But you know, they definitely deserve the result of that nature, and thankfully it's come sooner rather than later, because with Bournemouth picking up and they've won again today. you know, and Watford look like they're in a decent, healthy state to push on in the second half of the season. So, with each passing game that they didn't pick up a win, you know, you do start to fear. So, on so many levels, that is massive, really, now. But, you know, it's only going to count for anything if they now attack the rest of the festive period. OK, Tottenham, White Hart Lane, away, Boxing Day. That's probably, if not as tough, I would say, probably tougher, actually, because Tottenham, conversely to United, they look like a team on a bit of a roll. But beyond that, you know, two home games, Villa and Southampton at Carrow Road. Now, this could be a very decent festive haul, and in the context of the season, quite a pivotal moment, I think.
And would be supremely timed, given we're obviously heading into January, and I think watching a team picking up points will hopefully attract people rather than maybe what we'd had the last couple of weeks. Brilliant. Is there anything else we should mention? Can you think of anything? We're not going to talk about the journey up, which was a nightmare. No. I'm sure a few Norwich fans got stuck on the M6. I'm not going to talk about the tragic Wi-Fi that was taking place at Old Trafford for a club of that size. Sort it out. No soap in the toilets either. But I don't want to complain about it. You know, it's an amazing place to go and watch football, isn't it? Very good place to go and win.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you have to be a certain age to have seen them win there before, so you know, there's a, and that's the reality. That probably puts in context that there is quite a large constituency of Norwich fans who probably have never known what it is to win at Old Trafford. So, you know, I think Alec Neil said it best when he said basically that's made his Christmas. He'll have a nice Christmas, and so he hopes will the Norwich fans.
Yeah, spot on. Well, I think that seems like a nice note to end it on. Well done, Pad.
No worries, mate.
Sealed it. Okay, well, everyone, me and Pad will go and enjoy our Christmases. We hope you have a brilliant Christmas, and we will see you at White Hart Lane for Boxing Day Tottenham fun. Could be one of the last times we go to White Hart Lane, you never know, before they bulldoze it, whatever. Anyway, happy Christmas. Happy Christmas, Pad.
Season's greetings, Michael, and to all our faithful listeners.
we're definitely faithful listeners by this point. All the ones we didn't do. Have fun, and we'll see you on Boxing Day. Goodbye.